Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to 10 Dozen Minutes of Gasping for Breath with Chick and Mr. Skullhead. I'm Mr. Skullhead, and Chick is on the line.
Why are you gasping for breath?
Oh, I just realized I was about to start a show without having gone to the bathroom or grabbed a tasty beverage. So, with 40 seconds on the clock, I went and did those things.
Up 12 flights of stairs?
Yeah, I like to keep everything in the attic, and then I have the show in the basement, so keeps me on my toes.
What kind of beverage are you having?
Having an Ace Pear Cider this evening.
Oh, I see. Have you considered that maybe the reason that you're short of breath is because you're pregnant, or perhaps your breasts are pressing down on your lungs?
That second one might be.
Or that your vagina is using too much oxygen?
No, my vagina's upstairs bathing the baby.
You've been watching too much oxygen?
My vagina's been watching too much on the Oxygen Network.
Yeah. You know, I spent most of the last week huffing and puffing and out of breath. We went on a little bit of a backpacking trip, and I was not in nearly good enough shape to do the stuff that we were doing at the altitude we were doing it at. So,
that's kind
spent
of
a lot
surprising.
Of time lagging behind going...
That's kind of surprising, because you do a lot of climbing, right? Like, every week?
Yeah.
You climb.
But at approximately sea level, or however, wherever. This is like 1,000 feet above sea level or whatever here.
Right.
And without, say, 40 pounds of tent and food and water and whatever else. On your back.
How long was that trip?
28 miles.
And you did that in how many days?
Four days, three nights. So, I mean, it's not terrible, right? Like, I mean, that's actually a pretty reasonable pace for a backpacking trip. But I don't even know, man. I feel like climbing keeps you strong, but it doesn't necessarily keep your heart strong. And your lungs, you know? Like, I think you need to do some more. I haven't been bicycling to work nearly as much since it got to be a billion degrees.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. I don't know. We are coming right up on our little convention that we're doing here.
I know. It's kind of crazy. It's only, a month away? A little less than a month away.
You'll be in my arms again.
I'm always in your heart. But
That's true. Maybe that's why I was having such a hard time getting up those mountains is because I had a fat guy in my heart.
Yeah, maybe I should leave the heart and lung area while you're hiking.
Yeah. But yeah, boy was I breathing hard and not getting any oxygen. I also didn't take a dump for like 5 days because I like to not be a bear.
So you actually actively avoided taking a dump, or you just didn't feel the need to?
I actively avoided it. Huh. I think that was part of why I was feeling worse and worse over time.
Were you worried about contaminating your vagina with your...
Yes. Yes, I was worried about that, Mr. Skullhead. It was funny. We were at a campsite, and as hot stuff was hanging, the bear... Because you have to hang your food up in a tree... out of the reach of bears, so that right. Bears don't come and eat your food when you're hiking in a place where there's bears. And one of the other campers, this old man, came up and asked Hot Stuff if he went to MIT, and he said, "Yes, actually. Why do you ask?" And he was like, "I'm just looking at your rope contraption here." You know, it worked.
Was it a needlessly complicated machine?
No, it was. I mean, I think it was needlessly paranoid in that, like, his contention... Hot Stuff, I guess, had a camping trip, a backpacking trip, ruined once when bears ate all their food. So they had to go, like, a day out, you know, like, with no supplies to speak of. You know, just to end the trip. And so he's especially paranoid about bears. And so he wants the bag hung, like, you know, 5 feet from anything in all directions. Whereas other people are not so concerned about that. So like, you know, his plan is always string up a rope between two trees, then hoist the bag up on a rope onto that other rope. so that it's like just out in the middle of empty space. Whereas other people will just find a tree that is slightly slanted and hang the bag a couple feet away from it.
Right.
Hoping that the bears are just, you know. So I had observed that we didn't have to have the best hung bear bag. We just needed to not have the worst. Although yeah. I think a bear would maybe not be satisfied with just one bag of food. I think a bear could eat a lot of instant mashed potatoes and ramen.
Maybe they just, like, the first thing that the bear ate would make it even hungrier for your food.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Because maybe it's like bear, like onion rings. Something that acted as an appetizer.
Mm.
I do carry a lot of onion rings with me when I'm backpacking.
Yeah, you shouldn't have had those jalapeno poppers in your pack. For one thing, they just get grease all over everything.
Yeah, they sure do. We, the second day, we were, we'd gone through very slowly because of me, this big mountain pass. And then there were like just a couple of miles of this beautiful mountain prairie meadow kind of thing with like tall grass and flowers everywhere and just some bushes. A couple miles of trail through that until the forest where the campsite was. But as soon as we got out in the open, this massive thunderstorm blew in. There was lightning striking all around us. It was raining like a motherfucker until it decided to start hailing like a motherfucker in addition to raining like a motherfucker.
Lovely.
I almost immediately slipped in the mud and tore off the poncho that I was wearing. That was the only thing stopping me from, you know, getting completely soaked. And it was pretty unpleasant. Got to make camp in the pouring rain. Sleep inside a wet sleeping bag and wet clothes and a wet tent.
Ugh.
Yeah, it was pretty awful.
Wet sleeping
bag. But then
the next day was
beautiful. So we stood around letting everything dry in the sun. I don't know. On the trip, I went through a lot of distinct phases where I was like, never fucking doing this again. This is awesome. No, I'm never fucking doing this again. All right, this was totally worth it. One of the guys that we were with said, you know, the extent to which I am glad to stop doing this always makes me suspicious after the fact of how much I actually enjoy it. Been eating nothing but cheeseburgers since I got off the trail. In 36 hours, I've probably had 5 cheeseburgers.
For reals?
No, I've had 3 cheeseburgers. I didn't eat a cheeseburger today. I could have, though. Yeah, I don't know. Somebody said something about a cheeseburger and a beer, like, on that second night. Can't wait to be out of this bullshit rain and eat a cheeseburger and drink a beer. And then that just became, like, a mental fixative.
So as you were hiking, just every step was cheeseburger, beer, cheeseburger, beer.
Yes. And then I couldn't decide which one I wanted first, so I just put them in a blender.
And you could always kind of pour the beer into the ground beef if you were making the cheeseburgers. I know you don't make food, because that's like servant stuff, but...
Hey, I make food sometimes. We barbecued yesterday, and the only reason that I didn't make the food is because somebody bought a bunch of pre-made burger patties from Fresh and Easy. I've been trying to decide whether I think Fresh and Easy is good or bad.
Hmm.
Do they have them where you are?
No, I went to one for the first time this last trip to Phoenix, and I thought it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I have to say, I would firmly place them in the force of good category.
Just everything is really overpackaged, which is bad. I mean, I'm not saying, like, you know, whether I think it's good or bad, I guess. I'm saying whether, like, a hippie would think it was good or bad.
Oh, I see.
You know? I mean, because I don't think you necessarily want to encourage people. Like, I don't think that the quality of the food is any better than the things that are just in a regular grocery store, right? So you always have, you have the same problems, right? Like, mm-hmm. If you're not buying something at a farmer's market, then the terrorists have already won. What's that thing? When you buy weed, you're supporting the Taliban?
I think it's when you pirate videos about other people buying weed.
Okay, so like when you don't pay for the copy of Half-Baked that you torrented, the terrorists have already won against the Taliban?
Right. Something
okay.
Like
that. You know, like, so there were these hamburgers, these pre-made hamburger patties that had like peppers embedded in them, which were pretty good. You know, like that's a thing that's pretty tasty. But they came 2 at a time in these plastic trays with a sheet of plastic over the top of them and then another sheet of plastic around the entire thing.
Huh.
Which, you know, I'm sure that there's some reason for that. It's just, for those of you who don't know what Fresh and Easy is, it's like, it's this weird grocery store that Tesco, the sort of British, big British grocery store company, opened in certain markets in the U.S. And they just sell a lot of things that are basically designed for a person who wants to cook dinner, but, like, just wants, I guess, is like a single sort of, you can go and just buy, like, a thing of chopped up cauliflower and broccoli or whatever that is, like, just enough for one side dish on one meal.
It seemed like a kind of, like, if convenience stores had good food, or if, like, Trader Joe's and your regular grocery store had a three-way with a convenience store, kind of. Because there were some things that were brands that you didn't recognize. There were things that were definitely hippie pandering that you wouldn't find at a regular grocery store.
Yeah, and there were some, I mean, I feel like there are some nods to the, like, Whole Foods kind of, you know, here's some kind of fish you've never heard of.
Right.
Like, yeah. But I don't know.
It seemed
know?
Like everything just, was cheaper than a regular store, but that might have been because the portions were smaller.
Yeah, I think it's actually significantly more expensive to buy vegetables there than it is to get them fresh from a supermarket. Huh. I mean, I guess for me, though, if I buy anything, you know, I do cook every once in a while, Mr. Skullhead. I don't know why you get that impression about me. But, you know, I'll buy a bag of potatoes, and I'll make potatoes a couple times over the course of, like, a month, and then the rest of the bag of the potatoes just rots. Yeah. But I'm not going to buy, like, one of those bags with three potatoes in it, you know?
Because you'll go one potato, two potato, three potato. God damn it. You need one with four potatoes.
Remember when I suggested that shirt that was one tequila, two tequila, three tequila, four tequila, five tequila, all the way down the front and back of the shirt, ending with shut the fuck up?
Yep.
As a response to one tequila, two tequila, three tequila, floor. You know, that's something I haven't thought about in a while, because it's been a while since I've gone down to Mexico, but those stores that sell the shirts that are just things like, you know, pictures of lizards having sex in a bunch of different positions.
Right.
Or knockoff No Fear shirts, or
I'm shy but I've got a big dick.
Yeah, I fucked your sister in Lake Havasu, and also the vagina.
That wasn't a T-shirt. I was just, you know, announcing.
Yeah,
it is kind of funny that the couple of times that we've gone, where there have been actual tourists. And seeing somebody wearing the I Fuck on the First Date shirt. Yeah. Because most of the time we would go down there and look at those shirts and go, who would be such a complete and utter asshat that they would think that wearing those shirts would get them tail? And then we found out.
Yeah. Do you think that has ever worked?
So somebody just kind of, hey, I noticed you standing over there with your I'm shy, but I've got a big dick shirt. Well, I'm shy, but I'm also a total slut, so why don't you say we fuck?
Yeah, do you think that has ever happened even once? Do you think that anyone has ever had sex while wearing that shirt?
I wouldn't say while wearing the shirt. I don't think anybody has had sex in the same room as that shirt. I'm going to go out on a limb.
Okay, but you're saying that somebody who owns that shirt might have had sex with somebody at some point.
Yeah, because if the shirt wasn't anywhere in the near vicinity, they wouldn't know.
Do you remember in the movie The Jerk how the girl who, I can't remember her name, I can't remember that actress's name, but she had her kid who she described as wearing a shirt that said bullshit?
Huh.
I remember those shirts from, like, the early 80s. There were shirts for little kids that just said, like, you know, shit on them.
Huh.
And that was kind of funny. So when you were looking at baby clothes, are there baby clothes that are actually, like, you know, say have the word fuck on them?
I didn't see one, but I'm betting they exist. There were something, I remember some shirts that I wouldn't have put on Ollie. Like, the clearly, like, my dad is an asshole shirt, you know.
But because you are afraid that your child might grow up to wear other accurate articles of clothing.
Right, right.
and you don't want him wearing things like, you know, there is no Santa Claus, making everybody all depressed.
Yeah, so you can, T-Shirt Hell has a pretty big selection of just why the hell wouldn't you not put that on your kid? Like, fuck the milk, where's the whiskey tits?
Huh. Now, I hate it when I'm trying to have sex with a girl, but she drank too much and has whiskey tits.
All daddy wanted was a blowjob. Heesh.
I mean, why wouldn't you put that on your kid?
Yeah.
I feel like I would proudly carry a kid around with that written on his shirt. And then I would pretend that I didn't speak English.
I've accomplished more than Obama. There we go.
Huh.
There were some things, like, some loose guidelines that I developed browsing shirts online for Ollie. Just like, I'm not getting him shirts with pee and poop jokes on them. I'm not getting him shirts with breastfeeding jokes on them. I'm not getting him shirts with compliments to his parents on them. My dad's totally awesome. Just kind of lame.
Are you going to let him buy you a cup that says world's greatest dad?
Yeah, when he's old enough to do that. You know, when he's old enough to have an opinion on the subject. I actually saw one that said, my mom is a MILF.
Yeah, that was kind of fucked up.
That's multiple shades of fucked up right there.
Especially if you put it on a girl, because then your kid's a lesbian and will have to be sent to one of those camps.
Church camp?
No, one of those summer camps where she makes out with all the other underage lesbians.
Ah, gotcha.
And they film. I think they call them barely legal summer camp.
Oh, right. I think I've seen a documentary about that.
Yeah. There were several volumes of that documentary, actually. I've seen the first 15 minutes of almost every episode.
15 minutes, wow.
15 minutes, right. What have you been doing? What have you been doing the last few days?
Let's see. I'm busy scraping paint off the house. We got the front of the house pretty much done, except for the big high peak that we're going to have to pay somebody to do. Because no ladder forged by man can reach it, so we have to get somebody who has a ladder made by a woman.
A ladder that was from its mother's womb untimely ripped?
Yeah. No. So the front of the house is done. We started working on the back of the house. And
why are you even bothering to paint the parts of the house that aren't the front?
Well, because the back of the house is where we go in. I'm a back door man.
Oh.
And the garage is in the back. So,
are you painting the house because you care what color the house is?
I'm painting the house because the paint is just kind of falling off of the house. Like, bubbling up and peeling off. Because somebody did an incredibly shitty job putting it on. So,
why are you trying to do the thing with a ladder? Why don't you just hang from a rope from the roof?
Yeah.
And scrape it that way.
I've thought about it, but I don't want to die.
You wouldn't die. How high is it? Like 30 feet?
It's just two stories, so maybe like 20, 25 feet. I've been actually thinking of trying to rig some kind of harness that I could stand, like, take the window out on the high peak and just stand on the windowsill and just be assured that if I leaned back too far that something would catch me rather than me just falling down to the ground.
Mm-hmm. Do you have, like, a chimney that you could tie a rope to?
I don't have a chimney that I would trust with my life, no.
Hmm.
Not, I think the
only
ideal solution
is drink a lot.
Right. Yeah, the chimneys that,
it's constantly smoking.
Oh, ha. I was going to say a chimney that I recently made the beneficiary of my life insurance.
Oh, yeah.
And then I kind of wonder why I did that.
Hey, I have a question for you. Remember the movie Gremlins?
Yep, I do.
Was it explained in the movie Gremlins how Phoebe Cates' character's father died? Or was that only in the novelization of the movie Gremlins?
I'm pretty sure it was in the movie.
Okay.
Yeah. I think so.
All right. Sometimes I remember things about movies that I read that I was a big fan of reading novelizations of movies when I was a kid. And sometimes I remember things from movies that weren't actually in the movies because of the novelizations.
You really should read the novelization of Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Oh, right, because the movie is about people making a movie and Freddy invading their dreams, right?
Yeah.
And then the book is about a guy writing a book about people making a movie.
Yeah.
And Freddy invading his dreams.
Like,
is the novelization going to make sense if I haven't seen the movie?
Well, you should see the movie.
I don't think I have time for that.
It's good. It's a good movie. It's pretty good.
I don't think I saw any movies while I was on my backpacking trip, so I don't have any new movies to talk about.
I saw Toy Story 3, and man, is that a deep well of sadness.
Really?
Yeah, it's, like, it was good. It was as good as the other movies in the series. But, just real, real sad. Kind of combines the sadness of growing up and giving your toys away to... with the sadness of watching your kid go off to college. And it just kind of... yeah, the last 20 minutes were just the most depressing. Like, awesome, but still very, very depressing.
I always assumed that I would be happy to watch a kid go off to college. Like, A, because he's going off to college, and that's awesome. And B, because, like, I finally get, like, a room to put all my toys back into.
Right, but the... when you have, like, a year-and-a-half-year-old kid, you don't want to think about him being the, like, going off to college age. Like, thinking about when the first Toy Story came out, which doesn't seem like a long time ago, the kid was a kid, and actually less time has passed in that series than has passed in the real world, and yet he's college age already. The first one of those came out 15 years ago. Jesus.
Pixar seems to be on a kind of a sad kick these days.
Yeah, I'm hoping their next one is just going to be a bunch of, I don't know, frat boys getting hit in the nuts with a baseball bat. Or a wiffle ball bat. You know, not a baseball bat. That would be kind of tragic. Yeah. Something funny. Monkeys. Monkeys scratching their junk.
Something like monkey bone. Has Pixar made any funny movies?
The first Toy Story didn't have a deep well of sadness. The second one had a middling-sized well of sadness. This one...
I still have only seen most of the first one.
Huh.
I don't know. I get that Pixar stuff is good, right? You know, Ratatouille wasn't sad.
No, that's right. Ratatouille's pretty good.
It had... I mean, I guess it made me a little... it was a little, like, contemplative, I guess, about, like, culture in general. But it wasn't tragic in any way. Except, I guess, the, you know, tragedy of being misunderstood by those around you.
But combined with the awesomeness of being Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome. I got an email from the Tempe Improv Comedy Club, because I that's like one piece of spam that I started getting, you know, that I like sort of, they started sending me because I foolishly provided my email address on something
right. That
I filled out there years ago. But I actually sort of enjoy getting those emails because they tell me when there are comedians that I want to see. And this one, the email was titled, "If you love Patton Oswalt, be sure and read this email." And I was like, oh, sweet, Patton Oswalt is coming. But, like, no, somebody that they're comparing to Patton Oswalt is coming. And that makes me kind of angry. Because usually when you see somebody's name in the subject line of that email, it means a show that was just announced.
If you love Patton Oswalt, so does this guy who's going to be appearing live.
I don't know. I wonder what they consider to be similar to Patton Oswalt.
Like, would it be
angry
similar...
about those bowls that they sell at Kentucky Fried Chicken?
This guy also is disdainful of fast food.
And that means that you have something in common with Patton Oswalt.
Maybe they just assume...
So do you like anything other than scratch your house?
Not so much, really. Scratched the house. Watched some Toy Story. Shed copious tears.
Did you watch it at home, or did you watch it... Is it out in the movie theater, or is it pay-per-view?
I watched it on pay-per-view. That's what I did.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
How much did that cost?
It was like... $7.
Huh. I always think of pay-per-view as not being worth it, no matter how little it costs. Like, pay-per-view is one of those things like ringtones, where I just think, you know what? I'm never paying even 1 cent for that.
Yeah.
I'm not criticizing you for doing it. I mean, because clearly this was a thing where, like, you could have gone to see it in a movie theater if you went to, like, a dollar theater or something, right? But...
Well, like, I could have gone to see it in the movie theater if I had wanted to spend about $50 to get into the movie and have a babysitter and all that. And
you should just take your baby to the movies.
Yeah.
God, you know what else you should do is take him on a fucking airplane and then just have him scream incessantly for the entire flight. Ugh. I had to fly in some little bitty planes from Denver to Aspen and back, and that was... I was like, worried that that was going to be really scary, because, like, previously when I've been in little planes, they've just been kind of beat to shit by the wind.
Right.
But those flights were really nice and really calm and really stable and really comfortable, and it was really pretty. And then the like, big jetliner flights from Denver to Phoenix, Phoenix to Denver and back, were super bumpy and really uncomfortable and horrifying.
Huh.
But on basically every plane in that whole series of flights was a screaming child.
Yeah, you know, that used to bother me. But now it's just kind of... Like, what are those parents going to do? They have to travel. They have trips that they have to take. You do your best to make your kid not be a jerk on the plane, but if they decide to, then they're gonna. It's just one of the things we have to put up with since we can't... We don't have our own private jet, you know?
I feel as though, and I know this is easy to say, I think that I would not have a kid if I wasn't prepared to not take that kid on a plane for the first, like, 3 or 4 years of his life.
Huh.
Which, you know, I don't know. I got relatives who live near, so it's easy for me to say, you know. I feel like I would have no problem at all leaving a kid with my mom for, like, a week. Right? Which, I know that's a thing that some people have trouble with.
You would think so, but you would probably be wrong for at least the first couple of years.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have more of an attachment to your kid than you expected to have?
As far as, like... Okay, so when we did the Comic-Con thing this year, that was... I left on Wednesday and came back Sunday, so I didn't see him at all for 3 days. And that was the longest I had been away from him. And, like, he's in the toddler phase where a lot of the time being around him is not pleasant. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to enjoy the shit out of this. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to eat some cookies and fly through space and fall and fall and fall. But as it turned out, I missed him pretty strongly and almost immediately. And I definitely wouldn't have wanted to be gone longer than that.
Did you expect that ahead of time?
No. I thought, like, yeah, it's just a couple of days, it's going to be great, and then, you know, by the time I see him again, I'll be ready to, but not a minute before.
Huh.
Yeah, turns out. But, you know, like, we flew to Phoenix with Ollie when he was 6 months old. And he just happened to be good on that flight. We flew the last couple of flights. He threw kind of a fit for 20 minutes. But there's really not much you can do about it when you're on the flight. And you know the people who don't have kids are judging you. And you know the people who have kids know exactly why, and it's all right. So, you know.
Huh.
I don't think that it's... Like, how old is a kid before they're okay to fly?
I would say... 3 or 4. I mean, old enough to understand the command to shut the fuck up and obey it.
Oh.
right? I mean, that's kind of how I feel. And you know what? Maybe I'll totally change my tune once I have kids. I don't know. I mean,
I still regret it when we take Ollie somewhere and he's acting up. And I feel sorry for everybody else in the room and feel kind of bad about it. But I mean, it's not enough to make me not go anywhere.
I would flee the room in just soul-crushing shame if I had a kid who was being loud in a place where it should be quiet. Hmm. Right? If I went to the movies with a kid and the kid started making noise, I would just leave. Because it would be... I mean, my threshold for humiliation is, like, so much lower than yours. And so much lower than most people's, on average, that I honestly kind of feel like, you know, if I have a kid, I'm just, like, kind of hiding with the kid until the kid is not going to fuck shit up for the public.
Yeah, you never know when
but
that's going to
be. But I probably won't live my life that way.
Yeah, like, the other day we were at the, say, the grocery store. And Ollie started throwing a fit. Like, we're in the checkout line of the grocery store. Not much I can do.
I mean, I guess my question, and again, I'm not trying to criticize you, but why is there ever a time when Ollie needs to be at the grocery store?
When my wife and I go buy groceries.
Why do you need to do that at the same time?
Because we go shopping together so we can buy stuff. Why doesn't one of us stay home with the child? Because he's not a leper, he's a fucking child.
Right.
Him,
but I mean, is anybody gaining anything by the kid being at the grocery store? Like, I mean,
you
I
have
just,
to take
just,
them out in public.
I don't understand,
man,
why you would deal with the hassle, right? Like,
it's more of a hassle to have somebody stay home with them and the other person go shopping by themselves. It absolutely is.
Why? What, like elucidate the hassle of having one person shop for groceries for two people compared to the hassle of, like, dealing with a car seat and...
That's not
I mean,
hassle.
Like, the baby makes everything take five times as long, is my impression, right?
No, that's not true. Most of the time when we go places with him, he, you know, putting him in the car seat takes as much time as it would take to, like... have an extra person get in the car, really.
Okay.
And then he rides in a shopping cart in the, you know, in the front part, and we get to go shopping together, and we hang out with him, hang out with each other, talk about what we want to buy the stuff. Sometimes in the checkout line, he starts freaking out, and so one of us can take him and out for a walk or something, but... I don't know, it's easier to have both of us out with him than have one of us at home with him.
That seems really weird to me.
You will learn, young Padawan.
I don't know. I feel like staying at home is always easier than going out to do something.
Wait until you're at home with a thing that walks around, like runs around yelling.
So is it then easier to control a child in a grocery store than it is to control a child in your house?
It's easier to take him to the grocery store with both of us than to have one stay at home with him, yes. It is easier for two people to watch him than one person, even in a grocery store. Because in the grocery store, he's going to be in the cart.
Okay. Do you not... Why don't you get a shopping cart for your living room?
Yeah, that's probably the next step. But the thing is, like, you have to take him out in public. You have to get them used to it. You have to have a couple of times where they... freak out and throw a tantrum so that you can take them out of the situation and have them learn that lesson about not throwing fits in the store.
I mean, is Oliver old enough that he can be conditioned to not freak out in a store? I mean, does he care whether he's at the store or not?
Not yet. But, like, you know, the ideal way to care for him and never... quote-unquote, inflict him upon anybody would be to put him in a room and just stick food under the door. But...
That's obviously not true. Right? I mean, like... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like it's kind of a lose-lose situation to take a screaming kid to a grocery store. Like, I just don't feel like anyone is better off. And it's weird, your reasoning that it is easier to do that than for, like, somebody to just go get groceries and come back. Right? Like, I guess, to me, like, my experiences shopping, like, it is easier to make three trips to the grocery store as one person with a list than it is to make a single trip to the grocery store with someone else.
Oh, no, that's not my experience at all.
It takes less time, at least. So
it takes more time for me to go by myself. Or for Jess to go by herself. It's easier for us to both go and pick stuff out and talk about it and figure shit out.
Huh.
But the other thing is just that you should have your child out in society and you should be, like, getting them used to being around people and modeling behavior that they can emulate and...
Oh, I mean, I certainly believe that you should have your kid out around other kids, right? I mean, there are certainly places where you're supposed to take your kid.
But we have this great setup where we can take the kid everywhere we go. And then we only don't take him places where we would rather be by ourselves. But like running errands, he should come with. He should get out of the house. He should figure out how to be around people. Because if you don't, you get twitchy kids.
But he's, I mean, by your own admission, too young to actually learn that now.
But he's...
Right? I mean...
I don't know. The socialization factor, I think, is important.
Huh.
And I
feel like it is definitely important to socialize a kid with other kids once they're old enough that they can meaningfully, like... When they're old enough to be aware of other people as, like, entities, right? Like, then, yes.
Well, he's there, man. He's a walking, talking, interacting with people tiny person.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know. There was a stage where it was really easy to take him anywhere because he was just kind of a blob. Where you just plop him down places and he stays put. And, you know, eventually...
I'm going to be the worst parent ever.
No, it's... Yeah, I didn't learn any of this crap. I just kind of figured it out as we went along.
You just made it up and decided that everybody that wanted to go to the grocery store without a bunch of screaming kids could go fuck themselves.
Pretty much.
I don't know. If I hadn't just spent a whole lot of time on planes with screaming babies, I would be less sensitive to this. You know, like when I'm in a situation where I'm fucking terrified and it's all I can do to not scream, like the least relaxing thing that I can imagine is a screaming child. It's like nothing says like safety like children screaming, you know?
Yeah, but it's just kind of, I'm on the other side of that divide now. And it's just like, we need to go places. We need to take our kid to those places. Anybody who has a child understands that. A lot of people who don't have a kid understand that. The people who are freaking out about the kid screaming, fuck them.
Oh, don't say those things about me.
Next time I'm on a plane with you and Ollie is screaming,
you will just say, fuck you, chick.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. Soren Trigg wrote into the Twitter, I need more podcasts. I listened through yours and Idle Thumbs Archives 3 times now. Suggestions? Man, I don't know. I don't know what to suggest to somebody who would listen to the hundreds of hours of our archives 3 times. Why not go for a 4th? Do you ever listen to any podcasts, Mr. Skullhead?
You know, I probably should get into them now that I've got several hours a day where
I'm
outside.
Are you there, Mr. Skullhead?
Nope, we dropped Jake. And the stream. 45 minutes. 45 minutes every time.
Hello, sir.
Hi, you know, I really want to know what it is about broadcasting for 45 minutes that makes my internet connection reset.
Is it always at 45 minutes?
Yeah, almost to the second. I don't know. I suspect that it's some kind of bumfuckery on the part of Comcast.
Are we back on streams?
Yeah, you're moving too much data upstream and downstream, so... We're going to assume that you're engaged in something you shouldn't be and reset your connection.
But I feel like the Shoutcast stuff sends way less data up than, like, even really marginal BitTorrent use.
Yeah, it's confusing.
Huh. I wonder if it is consistently every 45 minutes.
don't know. It's fucking weird. Like, I'm hard-coded to... I have a physical line coming from my computer to the router, which is then physically connected to the modem, so it's not even a wireless thing. Nothing else is going on the internet at my house except this.
Are you sure? Are you sure that your child isn't downloading porn on some sort of my first computer?
Well, we did get him that laptop, and he's been watching videos of kids throwing tantrums in the grocery store all day.
Oh, yeah?
So I figure he's learning.
You know, he's gonna grow up to emulate that. You need to show him porn so he'll grow up to be really, really good at sex.
That's right, because porn really is it depicts the pinnacle of the art of lovemaking.
It does. It does. I mean, emulating those dudes has never led me astray. Like, I'll know exactly what to do if I'm ever at boot camp with a bunch of other men in their underwear.
Mm-hmm. I think you're supposed to watch straight porn to learn how to have straight sex.
Why would I want to?
I don't know. Were you downloading the entire Library of Congress or anything? Spouse?
What?
No. Spouse just came down with a laptop. She came down with a case of the laptop. She came down with a laptop and a case. So I was wondering if...
Tennis lap?
Tennis lap? Is that when you get hit in the balls with a tennis ball?
No, it's when you play tennis while running around a track.
Oh, I see.
You do 500 tennis laps and 4 Hail Marys, which is, I think, something about football.
It really sucks when your track coach is a devout Catholic, or when your priest is a track coach.
They design the entire track around the football field like a rosary. They paint each of the section of it a different. I know nothing about a rosary.
You could end up having to pray really fast.
Yeah,
because each bead is like a Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee, and
blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. The fruit of thy loom. Each section of the track is a different sort of fruit.
Right.
The grapes guy always bothered me. Because he's grapes. He should have been like a grape, and he should have been smaller than everybody else.
You don't like the fact that one guy is a bunch of grapes? He's like a grape hive mind?
Yeah. Do they even have those dudes anymore? Do people even know what I'm talking about when I say that?
I don't know. I don't watch television
anymore. They can't have, right? Like, they can't still be using the same commercials. Is Fruit of the Loom even a thing? Do they still make anything?
I'm sure they do. Up until recently, I had the TV with the DVR and never watched anything live, and now we got rid of our cable TV, so I only watch TV on Netflix, so anything involving commercials, I have no idea.
You don't ever watch those collections of commercials on Netflix? Remember these commercials from the 80s with that one fucking guy who's a whole bunch of grapes instead of just one grape? What the fuck?
Oh, yeah, I did watch that. That's in my instant queue.
Yeah. Just watch it again.
30 seconds long.
No, it's a whole collection. It's just the person writing the title had particular ire towards the Fruit of the Loom.
I just pictured a commercial and then a guy going, okay, so did you see that fucking guy? All right, now look what this fucking guy does in the next commercial.
Mm-hmm. I would totally watch a DVD that was a couple of hours of commercials from the 80s.
Yeah, that's the one thing about the death of VHS, is we have several tapes that Jess's mom taped off of the TV back when Jess was a kid, which is when we were teenagers.
Fucking pervert. Wait, so right when you started dating her?
Shut up. At least she's a girl.
Anyway, and about these tapes?
Yeah, and so there are these tapes of the, Care Bears cartoons with the original commercials in them.
And Muppet Babies?
Yeah, they're like Muppet Babies in the commercials, and the commercials are almost more interesting than the show.
I always wanted Muppet Babies to be good, but it wasn't.
Huh.
That was my impression. Because it was like, I would see commercials for Muppet Babies, and it was like, ah, sweet, Star Wars! And then, like, whatever. I don't know.
I don't think you're Mr. Cartoon. You know, you were never that. It's weird that we hung out so much because I was always talking about Animaniacs and Tiny Toon Adventures and all kinds of shows that I was too old to be watching, and you were like, you know what? I'll bet you're a pedophile in training. You're probably going to date some girl who's 7 years younger than you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because look at me for guidance in that fucking regard. Yeah, you know, I don't know. Like, I really liked the real Ghostbusters. There were a lot of cartoons that I really liked. I liked He-Man. I liked the Jetsons and the Flintstones. I feel like it was, like, modern stuff that was more targeted at kids that it just, like, I feel like it lost me a couple years earlier than it lost you.
Yeah.
You know, we also, we've talked about this before, but we're on the opposite sides of that divide where I think that Saved by the Bell was total bullshit and you liked it.
Yeah, I had a year or so where I was still young enough to think of it as, like, a realistic show about teenagers, because I didn't know of any yet, I guess. Or just being too young to realize how lame it was. I don't think I watched it, ironically.
I mean, do you look back on it and think it is lame? I mean, because I feel like there was stuff that I liked when I was a kid that I would probably consider lame now, but, like, knowing that I liked it as a kid means that it was doing what it was supposed to do, you know?
He-Man is pretty fucking terrible. If you revisit
it. Oh, it is. Yeah. No, it very much is. I would not want to watch it now. You know what I was really saddened to find out is no good? No. Was the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon.
Which is what Live has been watching. Huh.
I remember that being really cool, but I watched the first couple episodes of it, like, was while Zlyania was making me a wizard costume. because the DVDs of it were there at the house that she was living in. And, yeah, it was just really bad.
That's kind of weird, because people our age talk about how good it is and how nice it was to watch it again.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe it took a couple episodes to find its legs.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm hoping that I'm not going to be horribly disappointed by the real Ghostbusters, because I bought that whole collection. I bought the whole series, and I want to watch it, but I don't know, man.
You know what was... what was surprisingly terrible in retrospect was the Legend of Zelda cartoons.
Oh, yeah?
Because I remember those being really cool.
I don't think I saw any of them. It seemed like it would have been right up my alley, but I feel like I just kind of didn't care about any of the Nintendo television shows.
They're on Netflix, so I watched, the Super Mario Super Show, the Captain Lou Albano and everything, and this is going to be awesome. And, like, oh, man. Oh, man. I think I was just so excited to see, like, Mario in the raccoon suit and, you know, like, to see Zelda and Link as animated characters that I didn't notice how terrible they were.
You know, I feel like the way that I played video games then and the way that I play them now, I never cared about any of the characters as characters. Like, I feel like, and you know, maybe this came from me really falling in love with video games as a result of the Atari 2600. You know, where, like, so The Legend of Zelda is basically, like, adventure for the 2600 writ large. And, like, I love that game, even though you were just a square, right? So it, like, didn't occur to me that, like, oh, this is a character that I care about.
Oh.
Like, especially in The Legend of Zelda, because I feel like they're not characterized at all.
Right.
In terms of the game, right? I mean, the princess is just a MacGuffin. You know, in the first one, like, she never says anything. You never say anything. You're, like, a silent protagonist, right? So, like, I guess for a lot of people, that's an excuse to project themselves onto the character. But for me, it's just, this guy is my hand.
Sure.
Right? Which reminds me, I kind of like to have sex with Link.
I'm thinking, not, like, seeing these characters that I'm so invested in, but, like, the simple level of, I just played Super Mario 3. Here's a cartoon that has all the cool stuff I remember from Super Mario 3.
See, whereas I guess a cartoon that had all the cool stuff that I remember from Super Mario 3 would be like a cartoon of somebody, you know, like a video of somebody playing Super Mario 3 in some level that I never got to. or some level that didn't really exist or something, you know, like that would have been incredibly exciting to me, is like, hey, check it out, here's a Super Mario Brothers level that never actually was, but wouldn't it be awesome? You know, it's like the shit you can watch on YouTube now that's like hacked levels that are incredibly difficult or whatever, like those are really awesome, right? And like that's, you know, I guess I shouldn't say what I said about the characterization in The Legend of Zelda, because that old man was definitely a dick.
Right.
If you assume that it was the same guy all the time, like the whole, every time you'd burn a bush or bomb a wall and go in and it would just be a guy charging you for fucking up his door, that's funny, but that guy's also a dick. And also, when he's playing the money-making game, he's a dick.
And do you suppose it was the same guy every time?
Oh, I don't know. I guess it's probably not supposed to be. Because, like, you know, the first time you see him, he's giving you a sword, and the second time he's like, hey, fuck you, that was my door. That's probably a different guy. Because a guy that was kind enough to give you a sword in the first place, or to tell you that Eastmost Peninsula is the secret, same guy, he moves around a lot.
Maybe he was just sad that he gave you the sword and you used it to knock down his door.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, not every Octorok is the same guy, so why would every old man be the same guy?
But you do see them on the screen at the same time.
That's true. That's true. Are there things that you... Would you assume, then, that because there are more than one... That dragon from the end of the first dungeon also appears again as an enemy in level 9? Do you think that they're the same guy?
That he was just spending all the intervening time in a training montage?
Yeah.
Possible.
Scienti20 asked if you've seen This Is It yet at streaming on Netflix and shows how talented Michael Jackson still was even at 50.
You know, I have a... I saw the first, like, half hour of it, and it was kind of amazing how that dude can still move and actually still sing, but at the same time, it's just kind of horrific to see what he turned into.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think that there's anyone who would say that he was not an immensely talented dude.
Right. I find him interesting because the ways in which he was fucked up in the head were just kind of so obvious based on the psychology of where he came from. So, you know, not everybody who had his brothers always make fun of his nose and who was terrified of his father can grow up and afford to get plastic surgery until he has a tiny nose and looks nothing like his father and keeps trying to recapture his childhood that he never had. Like, he is that kind of test case of someone who could make all his fucked up psychoses physical.
Right.
I also think it would be really tragic if it turned out that he never touched a kid.
What, you think that would be really tragic?
Is it fucked up?
Well, I don't mean it would be tragic that no kids got molested. It would be tragic that his entire life got destroyed because people accused him of that.
I mean, I feel as though he was crazy enough in every other regard that was probably just the icing on the cake. But I don't know. I mean, I guess there's nothing quite as frowned upon as that, right?
Yeah.
Like, they don't kill you in the shower in prison because you got too many nose jobs, but they do kill you in the shower in prison for molesting kids.
Right.
I mean, I feel like he was probably... My impression of it is that he was a kind of an innocuous child molester. And I know, you know, this is not like a thing that happens, but it's like, you know, you convince a kid to beat off in front of you is different than, like, holding him down and raping him in the ass, right?
Have you heard, like, Bill Maher's whole shtick about that?
No, I haven't.
Because it's basically that. Just, like, nobody's saying that he was pounding kids in the ass. Like, the worst thing they're talking about is he may have, you know, jacked a kid off. And he's like... When I was a kid, I got the shit beat out of me by 4 other kids. And if I could trade that memory for one of being gently masturbated by a pop star, I would do it in a New York minute.
Yeah, I mean, it is clearly, like, you know, his crime there was not having the impulse control to not do something that was totally inappropriate. But I don't think that he was, like, a predator. I don't think that he
wanted to hurt
anybody.
I think that he really thought of himself as a child.
Say what?
The reason why I even wonder if any of that happened is that he kind of thought himself as kind of a pre-sexual being still. You know,
I don't know if I believe
the same age as the kids that he was hanging out with mentally.
Yeah.
So I would be surprised. And a couple of the people who came forward were people who were very clearly sketchy and motivated by money.
Right.
So who knows? Like, I don't know that, you know, I wasn't there. He never touched me. But I wasn't pretty.
Yeah, he didn't, you know, he didn't like you enough. It's because you're not special.
He's like, dude, I just don't like you that way. I'm like, ah. Would you fuck me? No, I'd jerk off instead.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. See, child molesters are good-hearted people.
That's the moral of that story.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know what? I came back from my camping trip, and one of my hobbies, Mr. Skullhead, is reading the comments on Metafilter when there's a story that is really divisive and controversial among the crowd at Metafilter.
Sure.
And so more often than not, those are stories about rape, right?
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, some statistics got published on what percentage of rapes are actually falsely reported and ruin people's lives for no reason. I'm like, all right, this is going to be a sweet argument to read. And I never participate, and I don't particularly have an opinion. I mean, I do, I guess, have an opinion about everything that I think about. But it's always awesome for you know, because somebody will come in and say, it doesn't matter. Anyone who's even accused of rape should be executed just in case.
Huh.
You know, but somebody comes in and says, "But wait, you could totally falsely accuse. But if you say that, then you're gonna prohibit even more women from coming forward to talk about the things that have happened to them because they're afraid that they'll get in trouble for, you know, it's like the notion of punishing someone for falsely accusing someone of rape is like totally abhorrent to people because of, you know, the implications as far as like, you know, it's already underreported because everyone is getting raped all the time,
right?
And so the fact that, you know, the fact that only one in four women or whatever have been raped is just a case of underreporting.
Well, the whole thing, the woman
who... heterosexual sex is rape.
Exactly. The woman who... I'm sorry, that's irrelevant. The person who did that study that found that one out of four women had been raped, the criteria was it included sex that you regretted having after the fact.
Yeah, no, I know. And they always talk about it. You know, they always talk about it, like, you know, it'll always, somebody will always come up and say, well, if you think you can't rape your wife, you're wrong, because if you've ever had sex with a woman who wasn't in the mood to have sex, and you said, oh, come on, please, I'll buy you dinner, then you're a rapist. Because any sex that is at all coerced, you know, even with somebody who willingly had sex with you before and after that time, that's rape.
I mean, I would argue that you totally could rape your spouse. But not in the, like, come on, give me a blowjob and I'll buy you a donut kind of way. More in the, like, hold down and forced to have sex kind of way.
Sure, right. I mean, yeah.
No, or
I mean,
say... just,
like, it's possible, you know, to murder your spouse.
Have sex with somebody, or have sex with me or I'll punch you in the face. That sure. Would also be, you know, a way in which you could rape your wife, right? But
sure. Right, but I mean that, you know, the people on every side of these arguments just make me super. So then another thing that I like to read arguments about is I don't know, sort of like Linux open source stuff, and like this WikiLeaks thing has been a rich mine of people like having sort of ridiculous opinions on both sides of the coin, and so it's like it was my fucking birthday when I get off the trail. And there is a Metafilter story about Julian Assange being accused of rape by the Swedish government. And there were, like, almost 400 comments on the Metafilter thread when I first saw it. And I just sat there smoking, like, the first cigar I had had since getting out of the damp woods. Just sitting there reading comment after comment. The comments derailed into an argument about whether or not it was possible to have consensual sex with a slave.
Huh.
Because where it came from was somebody saying, like, look, just because someone is a great man like Julian Assange or, say, Thomas Jefferson doesn't mean that they're incapable of rape. You know, which, like, A, comparing that guy to Thomas Jefferson, like, yeah. This is what I'm talking about. Like, you know, even the people trying to be moderate and trying to make some kind of sense are just Anyway, so then it was like, wait a minute. I mean, I know this was like, I know that Thomas Jefferson had sex with a slave, but didn't they like sort of set up housekeeping and have several kids together? Still rape. She was a slave. It was still rape.
Huh.
Because she couldn't have said no if she wanted to. But we don't know that. Anyway, that was great.
That is a perfect internet argument, though, because you can never go and ask whatever her name was, Sally Thomas or whatever. Did he? Did you consent to have sex with him the first time, or did you say no, and he used his position to influence you?
I mean, you know, I've heard that he was a good looking guy, and of course, her, you know, her primitive mind couldn't resist her base urges, right? That's
all right. Oh, boy. Black people are savages, and pedophiles are awesome. Time for the musical break. See you in a few, people. And we're back. We're back to the serious portion of our show, where we talk about serious things.
Like what?
Like the game. This game.
Video game! Yeah.
Kind of a computer game.
Yeah. Were there any Twitter questions about
Kingdom? Let's see. Somebody was asking if the Choose Your Own Adventure app will be available on Android phones as well.
Probably someday. None of us have Android phones. I don't know what it's going to take for CD Boyer to get one for development. I don't know. I don't know what the sort of, like, because I feel like you could technically get an iPod Touch to develop iPhone apps.
Right.
Test it without having to actually have a phone line attached to it or whatever, but, yeah, I don't know. Man, Hot Stuff's friend that works for that outfit in San Francisco that's making mobile games had a Palm Pre, an Android phone, and an iPhone that he carried with him all the time.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a little weird. But I mean, I guess that's what he does, you know.
I think that next March, which is the anniversary of this contract, I'll probably go for an Android phone.
Yeah, which one are you thinking?
Having the toy iPhone that I have has convinced me that I don't need a physical keyboard. So probably just one of the ones that are shaped like an iPhone.
The toy iPhone. What do you have now?
It's the Samsung Highlight. And it's like, and it has a touch screen and it has a couple of the things that make iPhones neat, like being able to flick through galleries of pictures and turning it sideways changes the orientation of the screen and stuff like that. But at the heart of it, like it, you can get on the internet on it, but mostly it's mobile web stuff. So it's kind of a step between, I guess they call them feature phones. It's not quite a smartphone, but it's smarter than a not at all smartphone.
Those are the same people who call them smartphones, call them feature phones.
Right.
Data Vortex wrote into the Twitter, the new Coldfront Marketplace is totally sweet. Are there any plans to provide nifty visualizations to in-game data sets? Are there any other plans to provide that? I don't know that there's ever been any demand for anything other than that, you know? I mean, like, I guess somebody might want to write some kind of weird chart thing for KOLDB or something. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm glad that thing finally rolled out. I don't know when it happened. I know that there was some time when it was done and just waiting to get actually integrated with ColdFront's systems. Saturday, 14th of August. Oh, so it's been like a week. It's been 9 days. Cool. It was neat watching the development of that. I'm hoping that people think it's cool.
It is undeniably cool.
Yep. I'm Tata Taylor says, any spoilers for this year's Crimbo? Can you spoil things that don't exist?
Yeah, see, we haven't yet had our pool side or in the pool meeting where we talk about Crimbo, so we're kicking around some ideas.
We believe that that thing that Brian Wilson believed, which is that you can't lie in a swimming pool because you'll drown.
No,
can't lay in a swimming pool. No, we can't talk about Crimbo outside of a swimming pool until we've talked about it in a swimming pool.
Yeah. This is what we talk about when we talk about Crimbo.
Yeah. Way to spoil Toy Story 3, by the way. I don't know that you really spoiled it. You know, speaking of spoilers, Disco Banjo totaled his Trans Am, and so he ended up buying this ridiculous pickup truck. And somebody said that his pickup truck has a spoiler on the back, and so I joked that it has Bruce Willis is dead the entire time printed on the tailgate. But it doesn't. It actually has a spoiler on the back.
Wow. Yeah. You should write that on the spoiler.
It's got some like kind of Viper V10 engine in like a Dodge Ram.
Huh.
So yeah.
So it's a racing truck.
It's a racing truck, yeah.
Mm.
I don't know, man. I think they only made these things for like a year because nobody cared about them. But I guess that's what happens when you total your Trans Am. You gotta buy something more ostentatious in that particular way than a Trans Am was. So somebody writes, Deathless Assassin says, will the con familiar be $20? I need to know how much to expect to give someone that's going to con. I'm going to say that despite the small number of people protesting it, that I'm going to go ahead with that and sell the thing at con for $20.
And that's do it exclusively at con?
So what?
Yep. Have it be tradable. So people, you know, a lot of the objections to that are centered around people who feel like the things are going to be unattainably expensive in the mall. And I just don't think that that's true. I think that some people are worried that people go to con and have no disposable income. And while that is undoubtedly true for a handful of people, I would say that by and large, people are already spending hundreds of dollars to go to con. You know, they're renting houses that cost thousands of dollars. They're buying hundreds of dollars worth of booze for other people. There are going to be enough people like that who buy enough of these things that they will not be the most expensive familiar in the mall, and they won't even be like in the top five most expensive familiars in the mall.
Is the plan to continue offering them at subsequent cons?
I don't know. I mean, I think if nobody objects to that, and I think, I mean, if none of us object to that, then, you know, sure, I guess. You know, the plan that I proposed that seemed to make a significant number of the complaining people happy was it's $20 this year, and then it's $30 on every subsequent year.
Hmm.
And the new thing is $20. You know, we'll see. Maybe nobody will buy it. It will ruin our credibility and not even give us the benefit of making con cash flow positive. I don't think that it will be cash positive, but at least not so negative.
Yeah.
But I'm just I'm going to give it a shot. Fufu Bunny Slayer says, is there any chance of making auto attack fail on every semi-rare? Yeah, actually. Now that's a thing that can just be added to monsters without, like, making them bosses, that seems like it might be a reasonable thing. I don't know. There'll probably be some people that would complain about it, but it's a special.
Yeah.
Cloudstrife asking if we saw Scott Pilgrim. You didn't see Scott Pilgrim again, did you?
No. I think that the internet should organize some kind of everyone go see Scott Pilgrim again thing, just so that it does a little bit better at the box office. But no.
Yeah, I still wonder what's going to happen because of that.
Hmm.
I heard, it's interesting, I was listening to some video game podcast, I think it was that Weekend Confirmed podcast, where they were talking about how, like, these guys thought, just because everybody that they hang out with is constantly talking about video games, that people who like video games are no longer, like, sort of ostracized, right? It's no longer, like, a weird niche thing, but it's totally mainstream. Everybody likes video games and talks about video games, but then thinking that maybe the lack of success of the Scott Pilgrim movie indicates that maybe our culture has not grown quite as much as we think it has. But I don't know.
I still think that the reason that it didn't connect to a wider audience is that it lost a lot of the universal emotional core that the book had. And so instead of being a movie about a relationship and kind of growing up a little bit and learning how to get along with people and learning how to deal with your ex's past, it was just a movie about life that's like a video game.
Right.
So that's a narrower niche than, like, people who would relate to it if it... It made me think of, like, Moulin Rouge was kind of a... If Moulin Rouge hadn't had any chemistry between its two main characters and that relationship wasn't a big deal, then it would have been too weird to be mainstream.
If it had just been about the spectacle.
Yeah. It would have been too weird to be mainstream. And I think Scott Pilgrim ended up that way. It was just a little too weird and not emotionally compelling enough to be.
It's the chick they cast as Ramona.
Yeah.
Was bad.
Anyway.
Moulin Rouge was good, though. Somebody asked me what I was talking about, how I didn't like any musicals except Moulin Rouge and the South Park movie, that I didn't mention Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog. It's okay, you know. Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog was okay. It was not something I think that I would ever watch again. I don't know, you know, I stuck with it and I watched all of Buffy and I really loved Firefly, but I am not one of those people who is all up Joss Whedon's ass.
Huh.
And I just don't think I'm gonna be. So... Hacksaw's Legit writes, any word on the so-called Batman run? If any at all, could you spare us a few broad ideas for this type of run? Well, we were just talking about this morning in dev. We were talking about it in some other contexts. I think it is a thing that you will see. My idea for the Batman run was that it is basically just like a new class that's sort of like super powerful without any perm skills. It's kind of like Bad Moon Light. But, you know, instead of buying skills from the guild, you would, like, research them at your computer at your bat cave, which, you know, replaces your campsite or whatever. I don't know, just try some different things. But by and large, you'd just be playing through the game. I don't know. It's evolved a little bit in my mind. But, I don't know, it's still fun to think about every once in a while. I was thinking about it a lot after I played Arkham Asylum. Because playing Arkham Asylum just makes you feel like Batman is fucking awesome.
Right.
Or you, it makes you feel like video games are terrible.
Right.
I'm sad about that. I hope that someday you will give that another shot, because it's a good game. Although, you don't have the same hard-on for, like, the Metroidvania genre, which I feel like that was very much an instance of. Sort of like exploration, powering up that lets you get to other places more conveniently or at all. That kind of thing.
I might have enjoyed it more if it hadn't been a Batman game.
Really?
Because I thought it was a bad way to do a Batman game.
Huh.
If it had been like, this is a character who can go into this magic vision mode where they can see individual molecules of a scent in the air, and then you follow that, like, oh, that would be kind of interesting, like, but no, it's Batman, and he just has detective vision that lets him see individual molecules. Like, ugh. It seemed very much like a game that was made for, like, a fantasy character, and then got a Batman skin on it.
Huh. I mean, I guess I was not so enamored of the Batman mythos that I felt that it was, you know...
It's not that. I don't think that it, like, sullied the reputation of Batman. It's just the seams were very, very visible for me. Mm. Like, this is
a video game. I mean, the detective mode was kind of lame. And I think everyone agrees with that. Like, the art director was quoted as saying that it made him want to cry.
Huh.
Because it made the most sense to just stay in detective mode all the time, and then you just didn't see any of the sort of atmospheric stuff.
Because the only thing that you did was, here is your MacGuffin, go into detective mode and look around until you find the trail to follow to that, yeah.
I mean, that wasn't all you did, right? Like, there are a few parts that are like that, where it's basically just a mechanism for... I mean, what it did was it took a game element, which was just like the sort of like breadcrumb trail, and it turned it into a part of the game's fiction.
Sort of.
Which, you know...
Very right, clumsily.
It was clumsy. It was clumsily adapted into the game's fiction, as opposed to just saying, like, you know, we're not explaining why the fucking pause menu comes up when you press start, you know, but we are going to explain that sort of, like, you know, arrows pointing towards your objective. basically.
No, in the same way that Lego Harry Potter is.
I can see why they did it, and I, you know, it didn't quite work, but it, I don't know. To me, it didn't ruin the game. It didn't, you know, it didn't make it a game that I didn't want to play. It made it one of the few console games that I've actually beaten.
I think, like, the other thing is, you know, I have a couple of hours a week to play video games, and that wasn't enough to, like, the fighting never got compelling enough to make it anything but, here is your objective. Go over here and push this button until you've completed your objective, which is kind of how the Lego Harry Potter thing shook out. I don't know. I think that I'm not going to pick up another video game until...
Until Ollie's 5.
Until that one game comes out this fall that I was excited for. Yeah, never you mind.
Is it Fallout New Vegas?
Fallout New Vegas?
That's the one I'm excited about this fall. What else is coming out this fall that you're excited about? Is it Other M? I don't know anything about that, and I kind of don't care.
Oh, Epic Mickey.
Oh, yeah.
That looks pretty
sweet. Were you there when we met Warren Spector?
No, I was there when his wife came by and said, "Hi, I'm blah 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 Spector, Warren's wife. You people are kind of genius. I think I may have Warren come over here and look at you because you're kind of genius." I'm like, cool. But I wasn't there when he came over.
It was neat. I finally met a game designer that I admire and didn't insult him.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You didn't tell him that his last game was too hard?
No, I didn't. Although now that I thought about what I said to him, I feel like maybe it would have been possible to interpret it as an insult, but it was meant as a compliment. I'm pretty excited about Epic Mickey 2, although I'm sad that it's on the Wii, because I'm just fucking convinced that, like, the next time I want to play something on the Wii, it's just not gonna work.
Right. I'll tell you what, it's gonna come out close to the time when you were going to plan on being here, so you can play it on my machine, and I'll turn it on for you.
Okay.
I'll verify that it's on.
Did I tell you I finally played some Super Mario Galaxy 2?
Oh, nice.
I finally got the fucking thing to work. But you know what apparently is happening is that one of my sets of controllers just doesn't work.
Huh.
Because, and this is how the game tells you that your fucking controller isn't working. It comes up to that health and safety screen and just locks up.
Hmm.
But then I turned off the one controller, turned on the other controller, rebooted the thing, and it worked just fine.
Heh.
Yeah, man. Too complicated. I almost got really frustrated at the office today because I wanted to play Deathspank, and I thought for some reason that Deathspank was an Xbox Live Arcade game, which I still kind of think that, but I couldn't find it on Rift's profile on the Xbox. So I played Limbo instead, which was kind of exactly what I was expecting.
Did you find out how low you could go?
I didn't. I played it for like 10 minutes.
I hope they do a sequel to Limbo that uses the Microsoft Kinect thing. And it just makes a bar on the screen, and you have to bend over backward and go under it.
Like a grizzly bar?
No, like a wet bar.
Art Shamsky says, "Also, you guys are jerks. I found Blue Waffle because of you. I hate you." I don't understand what the fuck that is supposed to mean, because I looked up Blue Waffle because you wrote in this question, not knowing what it was, and I hate you, Art Shamsky. You guys are jerks.
Yeah, I don't think I mentioned Blue Waffle because I heard somebody else mention it and looked it up, and goddamn it.
What the fuck is Blue Waffle?
Yeah. Paperclip says, "Any chance we could fold the towel into a Snuggie shirt?" I think that... I don't know. Whereas we sometimes disagree about which things are too lame to reference in our game, I think a Snuggie is too lame to reference. Riff was very angry about the Urkel.
Yeah.
He was very adamant that it was bad to put in Urkel's Aria of Annoyance or whatever.
That was a shark jump.
Yep.
Which is kind of funny because, like, the other... Yeah. Thinking about, like, Ferrigno's potion and Connery's potions, those are the same, I would say the same, like, vintage and quality reference. I don't know.
I'm gonna stand behind you if you have a list with both Sean Connery and Steve Urkel on it.
What if it's just a list of people who exist?
List of bipeds,
right?
I guess, maybe.
Oh, speaking of which, Missing No says, the LM's intro text in one of the new adventures says it has two broken legs, but the picture shows just one cast. Yeah, that's why that dude is so pissed off. He doesn't even have a cast on one of the legs. It's so freshly broken. I thought it was really important to throw that in there. I'm sorry, Anna. It seemed like something that had to be addressed.
Omega Zone says, I love the new art for the Deep Frat Friars area.
So do I. That's some good art.
I can see people being upset about the Hellion, the Hell Ion. But I don't know, man. Zortex says, it would be really nice if more quest items could be gotten rid of somehow. They just sit in my inventory causing clutter and whatnot. I want them to go away. Yeah, I had this plan at some point to go through and see what got left behind and make it so you could do something with it, but I never really got around to it.
Maybe after you solve the quest, they can be discardable?
That would be tricky, sort of. I don't know. I mean, we made it so, like, what is it, the shopping list, the Degrassi Knoll shopping list can get discarded if you use it after the quest is over.
Hmm.
I guess there's probably a lot of things that could just be done like that. Just make them usable and have the use link say discard. Yar says, any chance it'll make it possible to get rid of a whitelist to a clan? There are some clans I'm whitelisted to that I don't necessarily wish to be associated with, but you're not really associated with them, right? Like, not where anyone could see it. So I don't see a reason to like add the functionality for you to remove yourself from somebody's whitelist.
And so that you could do it passive aggressively?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like it removing it is a, you know, it's functionally equivalent to ignoring it.
Yeah.
So just ignore it. You know, it's like people wanting to be able to remove themselves from other people's friends list.
Hmm.
Like, no. That's not a thing. Chef27 says, Chick, I have the perfect idea for a game y'all could release for the iPhone. KOL Mafia Wars. That's funny. It could just be people arguing about whether you should be able to automate crimbo farming or not. Olmec says, what if adventuring in a quest zone increased the chance of getting the adventure? Start with a negative value for delay and eventually get to 100%, or have it replace non-combats. Yeah, that kind of thing has come up. In the past, like, just have a thing where the chance of you getting an adventure is like 5% times the number of turns you've been spent in the zone, minus 5, or something like that. You know, I mean, that's a thing that we could do, I guess. I think that as cumbersome as it was kind of on the back end, having like two copies of the adventures in the new Friars zones, I think that works really well for that, because it makes it so you don't get the one guy out of 100 that takes for fucking ever to get it. And something that surprised me was how happy people were about the sense of narrative progression made by those non-combats turning into like a story instead of just a single vignette.
Huh.
Because what they said was that a lot of times early on, like on their first playthrough, it was not really possible to tell whether they were just wasting their time by continually clicking on a zone.
Ah.
You know? And having them be more frequent bits of story was interesting. And good. So,
see,
I think that's...
I sensed that. And that's why I made them that way. I'm a very intuitive game designer.
Yeah. Let's see. NC Sorcerer says, wild hair to prevent beating up in all situations, even from non-combats. Now, there are a lot of places where that code gets called that doesn't necessarily know what your familiar is, and we wouldn't be able to put in, like, a message about it.
Right.
That made sense. Like, when you get beaten up in combat, it's always because, you know, a monster beat you up. Felgalt says, fridge logic question. What? What does that mean? What's fridge logic?
It means when you're, like, sitting watching a movie or a TV show and the whole thing makes perfect sense to you, but then when you're getting up to go to the fridge afterwards, you go, hey, wait a minute. That it was impossible that he would have been able to jump over that shark at that speed.
Yep. I see. Now yep. I'm looking at that on the TV Tropes, which I'm fucking closing. I'm closing the tab that I just opened on TV Tropes before I open any other tabs, because Jesus fucking Christ. You know, whenever people used to talk about just getting lost in the internet, I never really understood it until TV Tropes.
Oh, yeah. He would spend hours on TV Tropes.
It will just consume the rest of the time that I am capable of thinking and reading things. Anyway, where does King Ralph live? Is there a castle of loathing or something that he would rule from if he weren't imprisoned all the damn time? Well, that's the point. He is imprisoned all the damn time, you know? It's like, spoiler alert, the Dark Tower. It's like, what's something else that works like that?
I kind of figured that he would have been, like, the building that's the council building now used to be Ralph's palace.
Oh, they took down all of the crenellations and made them into a dome.
Right. Because who knows how long Ralph has been in prison before you came around, right? Having said that, somebody's going to point out a place where I say, and this just totally happened right before you showed up.
Yeah. Let's see. Betrayer says, why isn't there a special line of text for trying to disassemble five clovers? And then he suggests Clover 5 is alive. What about Clover Field?
Maybe you should have an option. The option should be disassemble and no disassemble. And that option would just leave the clovers in your inventory the way they are. So it's kind of point free.
Frankenbeast points, I noticed a small narrative error regarding the telescope today. After scaling the tower and clearing out the monsters, the telescope still reports the monster hints. Not a major thing, but there it is. Yeah, that's a good point.
The telescope sees back in time.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
No, that's a... Yes, that is awesome. It's really far away from the tower. So you're still seeing the light from before you kill the monsters.
Right.
Perfect. Blizzbob says, Fernsworthy's letter isn't funny. I should be able to get rid of it. No, you shouldn't, because it might be important later.
Much later.
Grimdell says, I was wondering if you had any thoughts on revamping the Clan Hot Tub since Hot Tub Time Machine came out after it was implemented. It seems like something KOL is to do. Cheers. Did you see Hot Tub Time Machine?
No.
It was, I couldn't recommend it to you.
It seemed like it was going to be a, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't fantastic, but it wasn't bad. It was, I'm trying to think of something equivalently funny. It was as funny as The Hangover.
Haven't seen that either.
Yeah. Which, it's, you know, it's mostly worth seeing.
I've had some conflicting messages on that. From, like, was the most hilarious thing ever, to hated it, was not funny at all. So, your ringing endorsement of its mediocrity would probably be enough to convince me to see it.
Good. Play Havoc says, why don't Sorcerers or Possumancers get some skill that makes cooking free one or two a day, like Disco got the free rest skill? Well, I mean, I don't think that it necessarily follows that they would get that. It's also not something that I would just never consider doing, right? Because, I mean, you know, like the mining thing happened.
Yeah.
Evangelion Q says, I wonder why there are no underwater sombrero-type familiars for those players that want to adventure undersea for stat grinding. There probably will eventually be one. Every time we update underwater, we start filling in familiar gaps, you know? Yeah. Forte SP says, I spend all my turns every day in the Deep Fat Friar's Gate. I noticed the update and have decided that for the most part, all the new enemy pictures are much better. But I think the new picture for the Fallen Archfiend is way worse than it used to be. I find it much worse to look at than the other enemies, which seem to be now smoother and more well done. That's weird, because, I mean, I feel like the new one is basically the same, but more consistent with the rest of the zone and the rest of the game art.
I hadn't even noticed that one changed, actually.
It barely did. I mean, it changed only in terms of having the same line weight and being less blurry. Because there was something different about the way that I did the art for all the stuff in that zone, something about the way that I scanned it, or maybe I drew them too big or something. And they ended up, like, either just really low line weight, in the case of the imps, and sort of just dark, like dim, or blurry, in the case of the larger ones. Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I wonder, let me look at the two. I'm going to look it up in the wiki.
And I can see the response is more that it's the only one that is just a full head instead of a body and a head.
Yeah.
I guess.
But I also gave him a little fat chin.
Yeah, I was going to say, but you want to be able to see the arches and the double chin, so it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, the original one was like KOL art, only lighter and blurrier. And this one is like KOL art. So, I don't know. You know, unless I screwed something up and it's, like, not 100 by 100, and so it's being rendered weird by your browser, which is certainly possible. The ears on the Fallen Archfiend are much shorter and less amusing. Okay. I guess the ears are shorter. But they're more piggish. Why was he a pig?
What, the Archfiend?
Yeah, why did I make him a pig? Did you describe him as being piggy?
No.
Huh.
I mean, the whole description of him is a pun on being cast down, up, or sideways.
Right. And fallen arches.
Yeah, fallen arches and like, golden arches. And
like a foot injury. It's a foot injury demon joke. Is
fast,
what you're saying.
Fast food foot injury, which was the sequel to Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah.
Where John Cusack walks into a McDonald's and like, stubs his toe. Mm-hmm. I didn't say it was a good movie.
Nassif says, could one of the random encounters with the mini-hipster be with the vegan police? You know, I had almost forgot about the vegan police until the movie. Like, I vaguely remembered that scene, but that was pretty good in the movie. Evangeline Q also asks to add vegan police as one more scaling monster to the mini-hipster roster. No, I don't think it needs any more. Yeah. Demarcus says, just a thought, but we are way overdue for some style of pants for an item of the month. What do you think, Utilikilt? Because we love Utilikilt so much?
Yeah. Given that we've only got a week, thanks for the suggestion.
Yeah. Utilikilt.
Utilikilt.
Makes you look like a douchebag.
I think you should do it.
Enchantment.
Awesome. Douchiness.
Gives you pockets like you're wearing pants, only you're not wearing pants.
Yeah, only everyone can still see your dick if you sit on a chair.
Occasionally it just inserts into chat both, God, I'm so tired of people asking me what's under my kilt, too, and do you want to know what's under my kilt?
Yeah, because it's nothing. It's just my balls. Which, I'm wearing this kilt so that whenever you see me, you'll think about my balls. That's why I wear most things, though. Like a shirt that says, have you thought about my balls recently? Do you think that you could read that shirt on a dude without thinking about that dude's balls?
Probably not. Every time I see the pretentious artist with the Ask Me About My Fuzzy Balls shirt on, I think about his testicles.
You actually think about his actual balls?
Yep. We got one of his little buttons at his booth that says Ask Me About My Fuzzy Balls, and the wife put it on the diaper bag. I figured that was somewhat inappropriate.
Yeah, I think that's inappropriate.
I can't be taken.
I don't like a lot of his new racy stuff.
Mm. I love the hell out of that new shirt, though.
Is it dildo?
Wow.
You know, that's just not. It's not him. That is like something that I would expect from like, I don't know, one of those people who's like way too creepy about like divulging the details of their sex life to people who they don't know well enough.
Mm.
You know. Like, look at this awesome thing that I made for a shirt. It's got a dildo on it. You know?
Right.
Or like, just a weird novelty thing that you would find at, like, a sex shop.
But is it an ironic reference to such shirts, or is it just an example of it?
I don't know. I don't think it's possible to make an ironic reference to a thing like that. Like, like ironic porn is still porn, right?
And the parody like, ironic, is the thing itself, yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe there's ironic porn.
I do love the hell out of his new shirt that's the skull kind of mandala thing.
Yeah, he got mad at me because I compared it to that guy who makes all those shirts, but I can't think of his name.
Oh, okay. There's some guy. It looks nothing like an Ed Hardy shirt.
Yeah, yes it does.
No, it doesn't. He mentioned that to me, too, that you had compared it to an Ed Hardy shirt, and I had hoped that he had punched
you in the
balls.
Oh, no, wait, it's Ed Zachary, because the shirt looks Ed Zachary like an Ed Hardy shirt.
Oh, haha.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, it does, man. It's not, you know, clearly not the same sport, but it's the same ballpark.
Ain't no same ballpark. Ain't even the same fucking stadium.
Yeah. Angry Seal says, you ever implement the rest of the stairs to nowhere part of the Fernsworthy quest? Like I said in the forums today, one day, Riff will do that. Yeah, that's just... He's got stuff that he works on when there's nothing pressing to work on, and, you know, that's where the Nemesis quest comes from, and that's where, you know, it's a slow burn. A slow burn, but a bright one.
It's kind of like if James Coburn did a slow burn.
Mm-hmm. There's no burn like a slow burn.
Mm-hmm. Especially when it involves James Coburn.
And Rooster Cogburn. Rooster Cogburn is something that happens in a robot cockfight.
Right. As well it might.
He lost the round due to Rooster Cogburn. Groove A says, is delay being messed with behind the scenes? I and many other ascenders have noticed some very unusual turn counts for what are normally super likely adventures. No, nothing fundamental is changing there. Pyron says, why won't you finish me? I don't know what that means.
Maybe, have you been playing Mortal Kombat with him online and just leaving him hanging?
Yeah, maybe. Or I keep giving him 95% of a hand job.
Right. That's still an A.
Mad Surgeon says, just played the new Friars this morning. Nicely done. If delay is going away at one a week, does that mean we can expect the tavern revamp this week? No. See, what you don't get is that the Friars revamp was 3 weeks worth of delay removal at one a week.
True.
Because there were three instances of it in there. Today we were discussing, Airship, which is some more. Crypt would be some more. Multiples. I think I might stick to my one a week, so I'm waiting. Even if I have an idea.
And then our players deserve no less than consistency.
Yep.
You about ready to be off this radio program?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. We'll see you next week, folks. Good night, everybody.